So good to be with you. I was thinking about a church as a thing and how there's so many different churches and they all have kind of a thing that they major in. And Greg and I worked really hard on that video as our new ad campaign for New Heights. What do you think? Is that going to be a good... Makes you a little sick, doesn't it, when you watch it? It's like, oh, that's kind of a gross thing to think about, that the church would be so inward-focused, would be so all about me and my comfort and my interests and pleasures and what have you, and everyone else can just take a hike. It's just a kind of a sick thing that the church gets in trouble with at times. But when we do it right, church is just such a wonderful experience when it comes to family. But that consumeristic bug, I mean, it's a nasty one. I don't know if you guys have had to stamp that out a bit here, but I know in churches that I've been a part of, it's felt like the thing that we major in at times when it's about my comfort, my interests, my goals, whatever it is, and I kind of leave myself at the center of the equation. The church kind of becomes like a cruise ship. You know, you ever been on a cruise ship? You've been in the... I'll give you a little cruise ship tip that when you're at the... dinner, you know, you dress up a little bit, you go into the thing, and there's something on the menu, and you don't know what you want, you can't decide. Did you know you can order everything on the menu? It's all the same price when it comes to dessert. Hang on a second. Sorry, my wife is talking at me here. All right, settle down. When it comes to dessert, you don't need to decide between the fudge cake and the banana split, you just get both, and they bring it to you. You don't decide between the filet mignon and the panay chicken. You just get it all. That's the American way. And we're very proud about that. We have a whole holiday named after it that you guys totally skipped over. I guess you did it early. We call it Thanksgiving. And it's a little bit scary that the day after Thanksgiving, people fight and try to kill each other for stuff the day after they've said how thankful they are. You know, it's a little bit of a mental condition, I think, that we have. But we haven't quite... I figured out this gratitude thing. But as an American consumer, I'll tell you what, when I came up to Canada, I wasn't expecting Thanksgiving, and yet Thanksgiving appeared. Erin and her family and the other one in the house, except me, they put on this incredible spread of glorious turkey. You guys do turkey when you do Thanksgiving?
No.
No,
I'll never
make it home. Oh. And so we did all the fixings, and so I gained about 50 pounds just in 1 week being up here in Canada. It was a great experience. There's nothing wrong, I suppose, with taking in the finer things of life. There's some good things about consumerism, I suppose, you could think of, like God made the world good, and we're supposed to enjoy it, right? So when I was enjoying my pants not fitting the other day because of all the turkey and pumpkin pie I ate, I suppose that was a mistake. Looking back on it, but boy, was it delicious. Oh man, it was so good. And of course, we had to take part in the other American pastime of, I called it Good Friday earlier. It's actually Black Friday, right? Good Friday, different holiday, different emphasis. Savior of the world dies, or go shop for a bargain. You know, they're very, very different. But that Black Friday thing is a big deal down where we are, and I was so thankful that some of your shops were willing to do that. So Lydia and I, we hit to, where did we go? That was so fun. Urban Planet, which is like a Forever 21 kind of store for us. And I got some really slimming skinny jeans. And, it was just Lydia got a bunch of cool stuff. But it was, nobody was pushing and shoving. Nobody was macing each other with pepper spray. It was just a really nice thing, but as we were enjoying it. So you can enjoy good things, and in fact, the good things of this life are what kind of propel us to mission, that make us want to tell our story in a good way. But I'll tell you what, when the cruise ship becomes the central focus, it can just destroy the heart of the church. It makes it into this kind of country club, and that is something to be watched for, I think, and avoided as much as possible. As Peter says in our passage, you know, he's calling them out of darkness into light. He's calling them to take up their mantle of authority and what they have for the sake of everyone else. And so when consumerism just becomes about us, which is its very definition, isn't it? It just gets ugly. Maybe some of you have been in fellowships like that where it's just kind of missing the main thing. And mission kind of gets roped off to some committee somewhere where people send money. But it's not about a life of discipleship and following Jesus. There are some great things about overeating, though. We could spend the whole time just really enjoying that. When we were in Vancouver, There's this marvelous restaurant that somebody built, like really high in the air. I think of it like the Space Needle, but that's probably not the right way to discuss it. What's it called? Top of Vancouver? What was it like? The spinning restaurant. And I just said, you know what, my kids don't need to go to college. We're just going to go to this restaurant for the day. And so we went up to the restaurant and we got the entrees and we were all in there for about an hour and a half, but that's how long it takes to spin around the whole city. Have you been up there? It's a crazy, crazy waste of money. But what I loved about it, even though it was cloudy, even though it was raining, the perspective that I got from that viewpoint was just massive. I mean, it was just like a whole different town. I mean, I loved walking around the streets of Vancouver. That was one thing. You don't really know a town until you've been on the actual streets of the town. But there's something about getting up. I don't know how high it was, but it was way up there, and you could just see so far. It's like everything just got kind of put into place. So that's north. That's south. That's the stadium. That's this thing. And it just kind of made sense. There's the park that we want to go to that is huge and beautiful, and we just had a great time. And when I think about that perspective that we get when we kind of take in the goodness of God, not in a consumeristic way, but to take it in, to receive that revelation, because we're not going to hold on to it. See, consumers, they like to grab and take and keep and just bloat. That's a sick image, isn't it? But producers, people that are on this walk of discipleship, they have a different perspective. They want to take what God is giving that's good and overflow with it. So it's not like you can't have stuff. We're not ascetics. We're not taking away everything good that God could possibly give. But what we want to do is take that good and use it for a kingdom purpose. Use it for mission. And for me, this has really changed the way that I live. Not this last house, but the house before that, we bought a huge place. And I thought, Lord, why are we buying such a big house? But when we bought it, we realized we were buying it with the sake of mission in our heads. We have mission in mind because we wanted to use this house for God's glory. We didn't have a church building. We were planting a church. So guess where the church central became. It became that house. We didn't worship there. We worshiped in other people's homes so often. But I tell you what, the best thing that ever happened to us as a church was not having a building in the early days. Does that resonate with any of you? Not having a space that you can confuse with calling a church. Because a lot of people, where I am now, there's a building, man. And I tell you what, it's a gorgeous facility. But it kind of can easily become an idol that turns people in the wrong direction, as if the only thing that matters is keeping this facility, this campus, running in some way, shape, or form. But the fact that we met in homes for so long when we were planning a church, it changed the very DNA of the way we thought of family. Family didn't go to church in some building somewhere. Family was the church. We were the church when we were family, hanging out in people's homes, and it was just as legitimate being church together when we were eating and stuffing our faces. And you can tell I like to eat. There's several holidays we could really spend some time on that I really enjoy, mainly because of the food. But when we got together and we praised God, when we did all the things we were called to do, it didn't have to be in some fancy building. And I think that really changed the very nature of the way we connected with God, and certainly the way that we connected with each other. Because when we get on this path of discipleship, if there's not some way that we see the world differently, and we see the church differently, then we're just going to be like everything else. And then we might as well not even be the church. We might as well just be doing whatever. I know when we were walking around Vancouver one day, the kids got a bunch of money from Grandma and Grandpa so they could blow on things, you know. And so we went into a 7-Eleven, I think it was. You guys have 7-Elevens up here? That sounds right, yeah. And it was in, you know, it was kind of a little rougher part of town that we were walking around in, I guess. And right outside, of course, was somebody asking for money, as you see so often in cities, or maybe even around here all the time too, I don't know. But certainly where we live, it's just become so commonplace to see people begging. And I'm like most people, I tend to just want to get in, get out, kind of do my business or what have you. But my son is not that way. You know, he's 10, and every person matters to him. It's the strangest thing. I don't know where he gets it from. But it's like, you see someone sitting on the street with a sign, he has to read their sign fully. You know, he has to know everything that went into that sign. I'm assessing it from an advertising and marketing standpoint. Is this a good sign? Did they do a good job? Is this an effective use of getting my money? You know, I'm kind of skeptical, and I kind of wonder about some of these procedures that people go through. That's my cynical, unsaved side of me, I guess. But when Micah sees it, when he sees this woman there, and I can't remember what she was, in her 20s or something, all kind of bundled up. It was cold, it was rainy, and he said, "We've got to give her something, Dad." And I'm like, "Nah." I'm a great role model, you guys should really enjoy today. But instead, I didn't say that. I said, "Okay, you've got money, man." And so he went in and he bought all the garbage you could imagine. Doritos, and no offense to Doritos, but you know, come on. It's not actually food, is it? Yeah, that's right. And so, but as he was getting all the stuff that he was going to consume and enjoy his vacation as we were headed back to the hotel, he made sure he got a hot dog. And, you know, I don't know what you would do when you're going to give a hot dog to somebody poor. Are you going to give the real crummy 59-cent hot dog? Or are you going to give the, you know, the pretty good all-beef hot dog? Or are you going to go with the jumbo? I know if I was buying it for myself, I'd get two jumbos and a Diet Coke because I'm trying to lose a little weight. But you know what Micah did, don't you? Without even a thought, he got the big hot dog because that's what... He actually went out and asked her, "What would you like? And do you want a piece of pizza?" Because that's what he thought he was going to get her. But she said, "No, I'd love a hot." And sure enough, he gets... And then, Dad, we got to get all of it. It's like he was getting it for his mom or something. It's like he was getting it for somebody that really mattered. And when we think about mission, you know, do those people really matter to us? When we think about the way that we give of all the good stuff that God has given us, those people rise to the top as people we want to connect with. Now, you know, we can have all the conversations. Does that really do any good to give money or food or whatever? It's got to be a more comprehensive strategy for really helping people out of poverty, doesn't there? But I love my son's heart. And I think that's the kind of heart I want to have when I see people. And of course, it looks a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? Jesus is not a consumer, right? Jesus is the ultimate producer. He produces disciples in his wake. That's what disciples do. Disciples don't consume. Sure, they take in the blessings of God, but they somehow transform them into all kinds of great things for other people. And when we look carefully at Jesus, we don't see him inviting people onto a cruise ship, do we? I mean, there's not the Lido deck with the margaritas at four, right? And then the shuffleboard, and then the captain's dinner. Did I mention you can order everything off the menu at one time? You know that? That's not the way Jesus seemed to invite people into. Instead, Jesus invites people to something much deeper. It's not a cruise ship. It's more like a battleship or an aircraft carrier. It's a war ship that Jesus is calling people into. And I know that sounds a little gritty and militaristic. Maybe it's not super helpful. But I tell you what, you know those guys who've been praying for on that suffering in Argentina that's been lost, listen, now 11 days. And I know a lot of people have just given up. Maybe they're already gone. But we've been praying for them. I'll tell you what, they're not worried about what color the carpet is in that sub, right? They're not worried about how many meals they're going to get or what the quality of the food is like. If they're still alive, what are they doing? They're doing everything they can to save the people and accomplish their mission. That's the kind of life Jesus is inviting us to. It may not always be super comfortable. I mean, Lydia went and joined, you know, we think of Cindy as now an international speaker because she's come up here to speak. And now my daughter, Lydia, she's an international athlete because she went to a cutthroat dodgeball competition yesterday. Now, some of you participated in that around town. And what was it, like 27 teams that came out to hurl balls at each other. I mean, I don't think they should have soaked them in gasoline and lit them before they threw them. I mean, that was a little over the line. But, you know, it's Canada, so you do what you do. Just, you know, when in Rome. And so, now, it wasn't that bad, but I know when Lydia got out there, she was fierce. She had her game face on, and she was looking one direction, and the ball came, and where did it hit her? Right in the face. She took a hit for the kingdom here at Admission as she was doing that. You can ask her about her experience afterwards. But, you know, it's not always going to be an easy thing when we step out. Sometimes when the dodgeballs are flying, things are just hit us unaware. I don't know if you've taken a step out of the boat in a little more faith than you might be used to. You've kind of stepped away from your comfort zone a little bit, and it wasn't always the easiest thing to do it, and it certainly wasn't the easiest thing when you got there. In fact, sometimes it was so bad, you think, I'm never going to do that again. You know, when you think about the way Jesus lived his life in kind of three key directions. He was always up with his dad, right? He was taking time every day to hang out with his father. He was in with the disciples, right? This family of faith. He has this kind of in mentality with people that get it, that are with him, that are just, that he's discipling and hanging out with. Lots of food involved within, one of my favorite things. And then, of course, the whole point of all that up and in is leading them toward out. You know, he spends all night in prayer to find out who his disciples are going to be. He gets that download from the Father. He's got some serious upflowing, right? And then he comes down, he picks the 12. The end is created. Jesus, who is not married, doesn't have any kids, is a single guy. But what does he do? He creates a family. Why? Because you can't do mission without a family. It's just it's a loser's game. But when you have a family, you can start to go out, which is, of course, what Jesus does immediately. He starts preaching good news to people that don't get a lot of good news, and he starts healing the sick, taking care of needs, and he just transforms the world. And the disciples take on that exact pattern, spending time in worship, spending time loving and caring for each other, and of course, spending time from house to house sharing good news. Now, if you were just to think of yourself, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how's your up? How's your in? How's your out? This isn't like some judgmental thing. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I just mean it's just an analytical tool. How's my connection with God going right now? On a scale of 1 to 10, do I feel like a 2 because I haven't talked to God in years? Or do I feel like an 8 because I became Mother Teresa overnight? Or, you know, what was it? You know, where am I feeling in this? When I sing that song, He is jealous for me. And I just put my hand over my heart and I just feel the love that God has for me. It just skyrockets my up. Music is so powerful that way for me. I don't know if it is for you guys too. Or on a scale of 1 to 10, how's your in? Do you feel like you're connected with other followers of Jesus that are on this road, that are living this life of discipleship? Do you feel like you have a family that cares if you live or die, that are going to be there to pick you up when the dodgeball crushes you in the face? I mean, what is it? Who's there for you in those moments? If you don't have a family, you're just on your own. How is your in? Or your out? In many ways, it's the hardest thing, isn't it, to take what Jesus has so lovingly given us and decide we're not just going to keep it to ourselves and say, you know what, I've got mine, I'm okay, let's just chill and watch Netflix. That's not exactly the attitude of the kingdom, is it? How's your out, whether it's serving those in need or whether it's telling people about your faith? Would you take just a moment, and you don't have to give yourself a score per se, but which one of those seems like the highest that's going the best for you, and which one seems like it's going the worst? Would you just tell a neighbor really quickly what that is, whether up feels great, or in feels terrible, or out feels like marginal, or just go ahead and share that with one other human being. I'll give you about 2 minutes. Go ahead. I'll be with you, man. Up in or out, feeling these days.
Up and in are pretty good sense of community. Out continues to be, I'm stretching myself to help the marketplace.
Yeah.
But I think being a family on mission is the goal.
It's huge, isn't it? Yeah. So much more fun when you do it together.
Yeah, and I
you're the master of out. Talking to my daughter here.
Yeah.
She's so good. So yeah. I think out is always my hardest one. But in our new setting, where we've only been there a year now, I feel like we have no end. It feels like we know people, but it's so shallow, you know, in a year. How well? You have to know people in a year if you're of the same mind in a lot of ways, but I just feel like we're a mile wide and an inch deep, and it's just about filling me. Because I'm not really a mile wide, inch deep kind of person. I'd rather go down, you know, and stuff.
The challenge is coming.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All right. You guys are not talking about what you're going to have for lunch, are you? That'd be a good conversation. How many people thought up was their strongest if you just want to be bold? Up feels like, thank you, God, I'm connected with you today. How many people felt in? That's my family. I'm feeling great to celebrate. How many felt out? It was the area there. Usually out is the lowest, but just hanging around you guys for the short time that I have, I sense that around here, out has been a huge priority, and I just think it's a glorious thing to watch, because when we do out together, it's so much more fun. I mean, I'm an introvert by nature, believe it or not. I get recharged by looking at my phone, by watching TV or reading a book. I read a book the other day on my vacation, and I realized I haven't read a book in a long time. You've heard of these things? They're books. It was on my phone, so you forgive me. But I thought, you know, I haven't had a lot of just kind of inward-focused great time, and the vacation is a great time to reassess some of that. It's like going up to the mountains for a while, like all these ladies are doing right now. What are they going to come back with but a deep sense of abiding with God, connecting with each other? And where is that going to be channeled? It's going to be channeled out to those that are hurting. There'll be a new passion, a new zeal, a new desire to see the Lord's kingdom come. I just trust that that's already happening. All I've had is one text from my wife. I've been hesitant to bug her, and it was because I didn't want to break the lady vibe. You know, I just didn't want to mess with that too much. And so they were having anyway, the report she gave so far, and Carrie sent some pictures of my wife all in Canadian gear, lumberjack outfit, maple leaf on her chest. I mean, just all kinds of, like I said, had some fun little banquet or what have you. But
incognito,
that's right. Be blend in with the locals. That's so true. What did you feel like your hardness was? Did you feel like that was an area where you weren't being judged today, I hope? But I hope you were feeling like, God, I want to be a balanced follower of Jesus. I don't want to live on the cruise ship. I want to be somebody that lives like you did, Lord, which is up and in and out. And when we get together, it's so much more fun to do it. When I try to do out on my own as an introvert, I almost always fail because I don't like people that much. I mean, the Lord has helped me learn to like them a little bit. But I tell you what, my son is the lone extrovert in our family raised by wolves. You know, he'll talk to anyone, anytime. He's just always out talking to people. And the rest of us are like, you know. And so I remember getting so excited about mission, so excited about discipleship and how we wanted to live a life as a family on mission. And we got all these great tools as we learned a lot of the stuff you guys are learning and just transformed my life, transformed the life of our church. And we just were all in 100%. I remember coming home and telling my wife, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have like 25 people in our house every week, and it's going to be awesome. And as introverts, we both knew that was a total lie. We thought having 25 strangers in our house where anyone could come in, that just sounded like the worst idea in the world. But I'll tell you what, as we stepped out of the boat and into that kind of crazy extroverted style life, it became the most fun thing we looked forward to every week. The kids ran around like crazy people having a great time. The food was always a joke. Because when Americans get together and they're too busy, they don't make casseroles like they should. In Minnesota, people know how to make a casserole. In California, it's always Little Caesars pizza. Anyone eat Little Caesars? Oh, sorry, Little Caesars. I don't think I looked down my nose. And so we ate so much Little Caesars pizza, it was just unbelievable when we had our potluck dinners. But we had such a great time. And over the course of years, the people that came into that family that might never have stepped into the doors of a church for Sunday morning, they just felt God's love and presence and healing in a way that they never would have had that group not existed. People became part of our family, became part of the church family because of that willingness to kind of step out of our comfort zone just a bit. And what I found was that it was so much fun, I couldn't imagine living life any other way. With a sense of huddle, where we're doing stuff together, with a sense of missional community, where we've got these mid-sized groups. They're out now in our new place. We haven't planted any of that stuff yet. We're striving as batty. Cindy and I are like, trying to come up to people and have these deep spiritual conversations about our lives, this kind of huddle level stuff, and we're just missing it so terribly. And so I think we're not going to be able to stop ourselves. We're just going to, we've already started up some missional community, which is fantastic. Some groups that meet, and they're reaching out to their neighbors, and we found people that are like, you know, extroverted evangelist types, and they're going crazy, and we're just partnering with them. It's just been so much fun. It's like one of the favorite things that we get to do. But I wonder what God might be saying to you this morning when it comes to your own mission with Him. It's not meant to be a solo sport, but there does need to be some kind of participation on my part, some participation on your part, a willingness to kind of face the truth of where we need to grow, to face the reality of how I need to be stretched in some way. Or just in the last part of this passage, if you've been tuning out for all my food illustrations.
You can eat with God.
There, that's right. You can tune back in here. Here's what Peter says in my translation. He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." You know, so much of mission is just realizing who we are in Christ. It sounds really weird in our ears, doesn't it, to say a chosen race. When we think of that, it just feels a little bit off, doesn't it, in our day and age. But what is he saying? That we have been empowered with the message. A royal priesthood. Didn't you always think you were royalty? That sounds like the consumer rising up again. Well, yes, I am the king, and you may serve me. But that royal priesthood exists. All of the good that God has brought, it exists so that we can proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. I just love it if we could end today by thinking about how God has been working in our lives in that up in and out dimension. Is there something, not from a long time ago, but recently, that God has been doing in you? That if you were to meet someone and they were interested in that you'd be able to share that in some. It doesn't have to be intelligent. It doesn't have to be theological. It doesn't have to be a sermon. But if there was just some way, like my marriage was garbage, and then I started engaging with God, and His church in a different way, and my marriage became something filled with blessing that I would never trade. Or maybe it doesn't even have to be something as huge as that. I was really struggling financially, and then all of a sudden this big gift out of nowhere came in, and we managed to make it. All the things that are being pushed into our lives, given down from heaven, do we have a story that we can take and say, yes, this is the thing that I will share with the world? Do you have a story? It doesn't have to be your life story, but is there something that you can say, God has been doing this in me lately? Could you take just 2 seconds? I'll give you a whole 5 seconds. Just tell somebody else that over so briefly. What has God been doing with you lately?
Eating with her.
That's good. Tell your neighbor. But I love the food illustrations. That's good. Something. What have you done for me lately? Not with a consumeristic attitude, but with a, I'm not going to miss celebrating anything. And so would you do me a favor? Would you just assume a posture of kind of openness? And the way I like to do it is doing this. I like to cut my hands. Just maybe right in front of you like that. You want to try that just real quick? I know it's weird. Strange Californians. Just put your hands right in front of you, and we're just going to pray. Thank you, Lord, that you pour so much into these cups that you've given and given and given, and we're so grateful today. Would you help us, Lord, to share out of that overflow? Ditch the cruise ship, and in every way, just to be receivers so we can turn around and be priests that would represent you. We could turn around and be a whole family that would represent you. And Lord, that your kingdom would come, and the mission would be changed because of the mission you've got us on today. But we ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.